see it in the movies and paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program, and welcome for this afternoon's session of Watchmen for Jesus. It's nothing special because you all are watchmen for Jesus. Everybody is. When you learn the truth, you become a watchman immediately. I'm not saying I'm the watchman. I'm Bishop Gamble, the watchman. No, man, it's everybody. Everybody that learns the truth, and you can, the truth is there. It's all in front of you. It's there. It's all there. Family, it's all up front and close and personal. Now today, I'm going to talk about quite a bit. Hold 1 second, please. That was longer 1 second, but I had to do something right quick, and I couldn't put music on, so had to be a moment of silence. Call it that if you'd like. In any case, I'm going to talk today about continuing to talk about mass medication. I think people would want to know if they're being medicated. Maybe I'm wrong, but to me that'd be important. And some other things I'm going to talk about that, well, some people aren't going to like, but, you know, I'm not a please-me body at all. I'm going to tell you, and then I don't want you to believe what I tell you. Hey, like that for a talk show host. Don't believe what I tell you. Find out for yourself. I do extensive research, as anybody can do. Anybody out there. You can do research. You have the capabilities. It's called computer. And it's called library. It's called documentation, congressional hearings, and gosh, you know, it's all there. All you got to do is just do it. Don't depend on other people to do your research for you. Someone says something outrageous that you don't believe or you wasn't taught. That's crazy. I'm going to find out for myself. And that's what you do. You know? When people tell me, give me your sources for that. Okay. Well, I very seldom do that. When someone says something outrageous, I'm going to say, really? I'm going to write it down. It's what I do, my process, part of my process. I'm going to write it down, and then I'm going to go search myself. I'm not going to talk to them first. I'm not going to say, give me your references. I know they're going to give me the references. It's going to support their point. You know, really, they are. They're not going to give this is too funny. They're not going to give me references to contradict their own point. So they're going to give me sources that they've already searched out that's going to support their view. Well, duh, okay? So I'm going to go and find out myself. You know, find my own sources. And never less than three. Never, ever trust one person. Nobody trust one person. That's a bad thing to do. And then when I find this, and I come to either agree with them, or I come to a different point, and I say, well, this is my opinion based on these facts. Then what I do depends on the what I'm looking for and the extent of it. I go back and try to prove myself wrong. I go against myself. Okay, what you found is not true. Now let's go back and prove it wrong. And that's my process, sort of. A little bit more in detail, actually, but that's what I do. Let's say I don't believe in political politics and taking a side in some political party that's ridiculous. But anyway, let's say you're a Democrat. Why are you a Democrat? Well, your daddy was, your granddaddy was, your great-great-granddaddy was, or whatever. You know, your family is always Democrat, so you got to be a Democrat. Well, my point is, why? Yeah, if you're Republican, the family's always Republican. So what? Who cares? What's your point? What's your finding out is opposite from what Republican family members, then you go away from them. Guys, I love y'all. You're my father, my daddy, my mama, whatever, 10 buck, two brother, sister, love you. I don't care. But I don't agree with what you're saying. Well, we're all Republicans. You're supposed to. Who said? Show me it in writing. It don't say that in my birth certificate. So show me in my birth certificate where I got to go along with what you say. You're not going to show it to me because it ain't there. If I don't have to agree with Democrats nor Republicans, it's all nonsense. Every bit of it, because they're going to follow that party line. Why? They're going to follow, because they belong to an organization, movement, or something, so you belong to that gang. It's a gang mind, mindship, whatever. You got the point. It's a mindset of being in a gang. You know, you belong to an elephant or a donkey. Oh, for gosh sakes alive. It's so ridiculous. And the system doesn't work anyway. It never has since George Washington. I mean, he never elected a president. We never have in our country. Never have in our history. We've never elected a president. Never. They've all been appointed because they were cousins of the ancient bloodline as a president of a corporation. That's a fact. Now, that should be, for some of you, a little outrageous. So I'd write it down. I'd say, this guy's crazy on the radio. So I'd write it down and not go search it out myself. That's how it's done. You do the work. You find out something I say is outrageous. Man, write it down, or while I'm talking, go look. Man, go for it. Be aggressive. Yeah. You see? Search it out. Don't call up your worshipful master. He's going to tell you what you want. He wants you to know. That's ridiculous. He's under a blood oath anyway. So that nullifies anything he can say to you as anything true, because he's under a blood oath. Goodness forbid that you got to go before a court and a judge is a Freemason. You're messed up. You're bad. You're in bad shape, already bad company. And they will lie. they will support their blood oath to that Freemason prosecutor or the defense attorney that you're paying money to, and the prosecutor attorney that's on the other side, and they're both Freemasons and you're not, man, you might as well just give up. Because they'll work something out and they will mess you over in a heartbeat. Because they're under a blood oath to Lucifer to lie, cheat, steal to their own families. They have to keep secrets away from their families because of this blood oath that keeps them under the control of Lucifer. After all, the 33rd degree Freemason don't tell them that they renounce Jesus Christ at the highest level. They don't tell them that. And that's an absolute fact. So, do the math on that. Now, if you're a Freemason and you're a defendant, then you might have a good chance to get away with murder. Sometimes, literally. Because the education, the law enforcement, legal system is going to benefit you in one way or another, even to the point of falsifying evidence or putting evidence on an innocent person. They would do that at a drop of a hat and sleep like a baby the next day because they're under a blood oath in the name of God to tell a lie. And why they don't see that, I don't know, but that's what it boils down to in their oath. Anyway, and I'm hoping when I bring this out, some people hear it and realize, and make a change. That's why I bring it up. That's the only reason I bring it up. Somebody's got to speak it out so they'll hear it, their mind will process it, and they'll say, gosh, that's true. And they'll stop going to the lodge. And in their own bedroom at night or on the side of the road or somewhere, they will renounce the blood oath and they're no longer under the control of Lucifer, who is the god of Freemasonry. And that's an absolute fact. As written down in Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, who to this day has a statue of a Confederate general in Arkansas, Little Rock. Nobody's ever raised Cain about removing a Confederate general from... Isn't that odd to you all? Anyway, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. I always like to start slow, you know, just kind of gain ground as I go along. I start easy. So, yeah, this is easy. I'm going to talk today about some news that you all, I think, need to hear and what's really behind the news, and about mass medication. I would think that, you know, being medicated and since the year 1900 and hadn't stopped since might be of some interest to some people, maybe. And some of the reasons why people can't see what's going on because they're medicated. Don't even know it. And then when they finally came around to technology that added to the control of the population, so people could not connect dots together and be trained by the schools that are totally 100% humanist schools, every public school. And now they're coming out and showing you. They're demonstrating it. And hook, line, and sinker. They have all the confidence in the world now, apparently, to just come right on out, and people still aren't seeing it. Because they're medicated and don't even know it. Lord, we thank you tonight, today, Father, for the opportunity we have to come together and to share in the gospel, to share in, Father, the wiles of the devil, what he's really doing. Lord, we pray that, Father, you give us discernment and wisdom. And, Father, to spread the truth, open up our eyes, convict us if we fall away or fall back. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch the hearts of those that are seeking the true word of God. That, Father, divine appointments will care of them in the right path. Father, that those who are contemplating suicides, it's being orchestrated, being planned out from medication, from the psychotropic drugs, from demonic influence, all these ways that these suicides are being set up, supernatural means and technological and means, Lord, that you know the heart, and Father, you'll set up divine appointments to somehow take their minds off this suicide, to put them in another direction, and give them the opportunity, Father, to meet others that's going to lead them from away from these thoughts and to find the love of Jesus and to become born again and saved through his loving grace and his blood. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made of your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, though he was innocent. That, Lord, he sacrificed himself for our sins, that we may become born again. And, Lord, to help us be the watchmen we're supposed to be. Protect us, guide us, give us the words to speak, the humility, but, Father, the courage to speak out. Protection when we do. And, Father, when it's time to come home, that you bring us home. We thank you, Father, for these opportunities and these miracles you give us, that sometimes, Lord, we may look over and just not acknowledge, but Father, we know these miracles are there. Father, we pray for those children that's going to be sought after and abducted this next 2 months to these Wicca, these witchcraft, these governmental sacrifices that they're making for Sawi coming. That, Father, you put a strip down their protection. Expose them for who they are in all the governments and the royalties, to expose them for who their real father is, Lord, that's Satan. And Lord, you expose the fallen angels that's coming in through this new externalization. And Father, block them off, it be thy will, if it's time that, Lord, you block them off, that we have time to witness to others, so that you bring your word to the four corners of the world. And Father, then we know the end will come. Father, we do call upon for you for protection of these children. And Father, protection of the families, and give them comfort for the ones who are missing. Father, all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we do plead that precious, uncorruptible blood around us. And Father, we pray on the armor of God around us. In the full armor, Father, we pray upon it. That's why, Father, we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the on the news front, man, I tell you what, they're really working it up in this world revolutionary movement that they've brought up. They're really, really stepping out with it. It's coming right up front, putting it right in your face. It's a world revolutionary plan that goes back, family, to 1700s, just for the North American continent. It goes back for the world, aimed at the North American continent in the year 1400 and 1425. And has everything, I mean everything, to do with what's going on right now, today, that's affecting your lives right now. Has to do with everything that was planned in the year 1425. And they have accomplished their goals. The target was North American continent by the 10th century. They had to wait 300 years to put it into gear. And by the year 1400, the plans were put in place. 1425, certain events had to happen in Europe. And they had to wait a generation until 1490s. And the avatar by the name of Columbus was in the one tasked with opening up the route to set up the beginnings of the New Atlantis, later to be called the New Jerusalem in the North American continent. Why? Because in the North American continent, of all the elements and stones and gold and oil and everything, diamonds, everything in the North American continent, had all the elements necessary and needed salt up. Oh, the Mormons know all about the salt and witchcraft at the Mormons up there in Utah. They know about the salt flats and how they need the salt and the alchemy used to invoke demonic entities. The gold in California and Alaska, the oil, diamonds in the Midwest, all kinds of things, all kinds of elements, gemstones, yeah, in North American continent. They've used up everything in Europe and the Middle East. They don't have it, nothing there. Africa's got diamonds on the North American continent side. Excuse me, South American side. Africa's the other target because of the diamonds, because of not the wealth. The wealth is false. What wealth? They want the elements. It's not about wealth. It's all about oil and the money. No, they own the money. The money is false anyway. Man, a napkin's just as good as a dollar bill. It's nothing but a piece of paper supported by gold, right? Silver, whatever it is. The wealth of the land supports the little piece of paper. That's the bottom line. Well, you see, that's what money was all about all along. One to set up the mark of the beast centuries ago. Get you used to it way back thousands of years ago. And the second part was Satan, the hierarchy. They need the elements of the ground for their alchemy of opening up portals. The alchemy of bringing the demonic realm into this spiritual, into this physical world. They need the manipulation of the elements of the earth by alchemy. So to get that out of the earth, because they can't, they're supernatural beings. To do that, they need to make it worth something to have mankind to dig it up for them. To bring it out in the open. To be used. So, if they made this thing called money, to be backed by trade and so forth, so they could gain control of the elements and then teach mankind, Nimrod, and on how to manipulate the elements to bring them into this world. This is something they do not want you to know. So, very, very simple. Let's make this thing called fiat money. Let's make it to where they can't eat, they can't do anything without having money. And money will be backed by the elements of the earth that they'll dig up for us. And then we'll take it and use it and teach man to do rituals, to put it together, to manipulate the molecules, to bring us into the world again as it was in the days of Noah. So very simple. You make the little pieces of paper equal to gold or silver or whatever. The elements in the ground are supposed to stay in the ground because God put it there for protection, because the elements brought up corrupts the atmosphere. That's what argon turns hard. That's why it makes it hard in the ground. When you dig it up, you have argon. It's green, something or other. He hardens it, so because you can't breathe it in this atmosphere. Oh, there's a lot. Oh, there's a lot going on people don't even have a clue about. The elements, manipulation. So, very simple. Make their fiat money, their currency, whatever you're worth, elements of the ground, so they'll dig it up for us, and then we'll control it and use it in the rituals, in human sacrifice. And then that's technology. And now they have CERN. So why you have crystals in computers. That's why you have gold, you have copper, all that, because that's how the demonic realm operates through the elements. But see, God keeps changing the frequency vibration of the earth resonance. Whenever they get close to something, he changes the frequency vibration on them, which they have to change the formulas. They have to keep upgrading. They can never stop. They can never find any balance because God won't let them have it. They tried in the Tower of Babel. He just tore it down. That was a technology then using copper, tin, other things they used back then. Rituals at each level of the Tower of Babel was to be used of human sacrifice, copper, somehow combining the elements of alchemy to bring in the fallen angels into this realm through the Tower of Babel. When it said building a tower to heaven, it's the second heaven where the supernatural reigns for now. Satan and the demons aren't in hell. Satan is in the second heaven between third heaven where God resides and the first heaven, which is earth, the physical realm. Based on molecules and atoms and quarks and whatever the heck, they all by frequency vibration, it gives you the illusion everything's solid. So you increase the frequency vibration, like ice becomes water, well, everything on earth is solid. You increase the frequency vibration by energy or applied energy, it changes the molecule structure, which makes it go to another dimension equal to that frequency, like trying to find another radio station, sort of. See how it works? Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Energy, the applied energy, electromagnetic energy, radiation, whatever, equals and affects the speed, 186,000 miles per second, C squared, of the mass, the molecules. So you increase the speed to, say, 186,000 to 500,000 or a million miles per second, man, it just disappears on you because you're moving slower. Like ice would disappear if it increased the energy. The ice melts. It's like going to another dimension of water. Water heats up, energy. The water turns into steam, goes another dimension. Well, dimension is loosely used. It's really called heaven. But third heaven has divided the second heaven, and the third heaven is divided by water. NASA is full of mud. No pun intended. Ah, that was a pretty good one. God divided the waters. They're not telling you the truth about the universe and what's really out there. They're liars. And would that happen to be the reason why they're Freemasons? Took a blood oath to lie? Might be. Being that every astronaut's a Freemason. Why would that be a requirement? Makes some people wonder. I don't wonder because I know. They've been lying about the moon ever since. But anyway, that's another story. Man, a kid in ninth grade physics or science will tell you human flesh will never survive past the Van Allen belt. And you don't have the elements that would keep the radiation from going through and cooking you like a goose. God put the Van Allen belt around the earth to protect it from all the radiation outside of it of the entire universe. Now they're starting to tell you the truth about the universe, that everything revolves around the earth. You remember back in the 1400s, before 1492, the lie was the earth is flat. Some people believed it, some people didn't. But the science and astronomy and all that, whatever, back then, said the earth is flat. You go out so far, you'll fall off and just fall off. There you go. Flat earth theory. That was to keep people in control. Until the time came, between the 10th century and the 14th, that 300, 400 years, it was time to then set up the North American continent. In the meantime, the technology back then was to lie about the flat earth. And the Bible says otherwise. It's a circle. It's round. Well, they're lying to you about what's out in space, too. Anyway, that's, I don't know where that came from. I just thought I'd tell y'all. It just kind of fell out of my tongue. I got the details on all that. I've studied this intensely. And I just share it, whether you believe me or not. I just share it anyway. And if you really seek it out, you'll find a lot of corroborative evidence. As a matter of fact, now they're starting to come out and tell you. I've been saying this for years and years and years. Tom, you're crazy. You're crazy. Well, now they're starting to tell people, you know. They have to keep you all, keep us under control until such time as step by step, phase by phase, they can put everything in place. Then they have to let you know what they've done. That's how it really works. So, that being said, a couple other things to tell you. I do try to make my broadcast as detailed as I can instead of throwing these things at you. And the people who's never heard me before will say, what are you, what is this? So I try to give some kind of background to explain where I'm coming from. Otherwise, it'd be just outrageous. But I've got everything I tell you I've had studies for. I've done studies for everything I explain. I got dozens and dozens of studies, and that's what I do before I say anything on radio. As I've researched it, I've studied it. So when someone says, oh, prove it to me. Okay, no problem. I just send it to them or give them the hints, give them the names, the dates, the places, the records or whatever, and then make up their own mind. That's just how I do it. May the 1st, 1776, was the beginning of the World Revolutionary Plan. That was the anniversary, May the 1st, 1776. Now, if you're into conspiracy theory sort of thing, this is like, well, gosh, we already know that. Okay. Well, I like to cover details. And one of them I've covered before. And this is recorded, or it's recorded. It's taped. No, recorded. It is. Taped is 30 years ago. And record. Okay, we can go along with that. Are you having fun? I'm having a ball, sort of. Sometimes I have to say that because sometimes when I go through this, I get really ticked off. Sometimes I really do. And sometimes I don't expect to. It's when I get to thinking about Arlington Cemetery. Yep, there it comes. When I think about Arlington Cemetery and the implications of what I'm saying and what I'm telling y'all about it, where the wars really came from, that has never have been, never have been, never has been in our history a reason to have a war. They've all been orchestrated, planned ahead with the outcome already planned. You understand the implication I'm making here. And this is the evidence, too. You understand that the war's history is pre-planned. And the history is written by the winners. And this is from the World Revolutionary Plan. Each generation of Illuminati, using the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits, as their foot soldiers and murderers and killers and administrators of this plan. That they're, by the way, going to kill when they have total control by the Great White Brotherhood will execute all Freemasons. It will happen as a promise. It's documented. And even the Bible says in Psalms 34:21, God's going to let it because you become wicked the day you take the first blood oath against God. He steps away from you. No matter what, how many good deeds you do, don't make any difference whatsoever. You, until you clear that debt of taking a blood oath, that's a debt. And Jesus took the debts of sin, but you've acquired a debt that's not yours. So you got to give it up. And you got to give it up to Him. That's the best way I can explain it. But until you do, you're the one that's acting with that guilt, with that debt that is going to put you in hell for an eternity. And if your family somehow along the way becomes born again, you will never see them for all eternity in the supernatural ever again. I can't be more explicit than that. And that's a guarantee, as the Bible says. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's only if you've given your sins away to Him, accept Him as your Savior. So then the opposite would be true. It's in the Bible, the same Bible you walk into the lodge and you see on a big old table. You'll find it in that Bible that they won't show you. So how does the world revolutionary movement apply to us today when it was back in 1776? That's why they have the councils, committees, bloodlines, passing the general plan on to each generation, and each generation at the councils, committees, form up to discuss exactly during that decade period of how they're going to cause these plans to come to effect. As technology increases, the politics increases and changes, they adjust accordingly, but they have a basic plan. So where are we today? Well, for example, congressional record. Is that high enough for you? Congressional record, appendix page A34 and A35. I'm going to go over this quickly. I'm not going to go over it slow enough to copy it down, because I don't have to. You can find it yourselves. It's called the look it up right now. The Communist Goals of 1963. January. That you know that JFK knew about these. Martin Luther King, he knew about these. Whether Malcolm X did or not, I don't know. But he was against the Illuminati also. That none of those three work together. But God has a way of delaying what they're doing every single time. Fallen angels, he changes the frequencies. Mankind, he throws either someone with power lust, Adolf Hitler, second cousin to Queen Elizabeth, by the way, and Stalin, and Churchill, they're all cousins. He turns them over to power lust, or give them a guilt conscience. Something always messes them up. Every single time. Because you got praying people out there. You got people that follow him in certain places. They didn't in Sodom and Gomorrah. Ouch. They didn't before the flood, except for 8. He saved them. You get the point here? Anyway. So, this issue about the communist goals, how does it apply to us right now? And they've tried so many times to come out in the public to bring a dictatorship. I've got the details on that too. 6 times they've tried and they've failed. Every decade since 1933-34. That you won't find in history books. But anyway. Communist Goals, Congressional Records, appendix page A34 and A35. Communist Goals, 1963. January the 10th, 1963, current Communist Goals. Extension remarks of Honorable A.S. Herlong, Jr. of Florida, in the House of Representatives, Thursday, January the 10th, 1963. He talked about 40 goals of the Communists. In the 1920s, it was determined in Canada, also in an investigation, in 1923-24. I mean, this is all documented, man. This is not a theory. Doggone. It's not a theory at all. H.H. Stevens, member of the Parliament of Vancouver, he was appointed the Royal Commission to investigate corruption in the Canadian Customs and Excise Service and the ramifications of illegal traffic and trade. Well, in the process of this investigation, he discovered that there were plans to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. This was put under the carpet, naturally. But it's still documented. Red Fog Over America, well, William G. Carr, 1955, he collected the evidence. He's got it listed in his book. And you got Pawns in the Game, too. So this is evidence given before the Royal Commission in the early 1920s during an investigation of Customs of Canada, revealed long-range plans to ultimately destroy Canada and the United States as nations. Now, what that means for us today is the coming North American Union that was going to be exposed by Senator Nancy Schaefer, who they assassinated, although listed as murder-suicide by her husband. She's going to go after Child Protective Service. And she also was going to go after the North American Union. She knew. She's assassinated. Like Larry McDonald. Like JFK. Barry Jennings. Man, I could just keep naming them and naming them and naming them. It coincides with the present development of the North American Union and the NAFTA Treaty. That at low-life Clinton and the rest of them have been promulgating since back to Woodrow Wilson. And even before, actually. Carried from generation to generation. As evidence confirms, Freemasons. First thing we're going to do is rob the national treasuries of hundreds of millions of dollars. They've done that. That's what they used. The Great Depression was planned in 1910 anyway. Your Harvard professors in economics and MBA, they're lying through their collective humanist teeth. They're nothing but a bunch of professor liars in Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Columbia, MIT. This is documented, man. They're all humanist, socialist, Marxist. This is documented. I got quotes, names, and dates of actual quotation confirming exactly what I'm telling you. So when they say, well, there's a book out that says King James was homophobic or homosexual, he's a pedophile, or that this conspiracy theory is not true, it's worthless. They could have 100 books, which they actually kind of do, that, for example, King James was a homosexual. Well, you're going to find all of them are professors at these colleges. That means it renders their work null and void. It don't matter what professor, what college they are, it's worthless. Because they're under the control of the Council of Foreign Relations and Tavistock. So you're wasting your money on their so-called books. The evidence produced by this investigation and this conspiracy back then that we have to deal with today, they seriously affected the national economics by robbing the national treasuries of hundreds of millions of dollars. They corrupted government officials at the highest level and obtained control of two main parties, both Canada and America. Now you see what I'm talking about Republican, Democrat? It's a joke. And then they come up with Libertarian to pull in the others. That's a joke, too. Oath Keepers, y'all being lied to. Your founder is a liar. Your founder is one of the Illuminati, or a Freemason, or one of these, but look at his background. You'll find the leaders and the biggest talkers that pretend to be on your side are just nothing but liars and infiltrators. They'll pretend to be patriots. They may be Iraq veterans, like Paul Rykoff. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's there to help curb the number of suicides. They've increased them. He's there to slow it down, like Charlton Heston, Freemason, NRA. He wasn't there. for protecting our guns. He's there to slow you down. Keep track. That's how those people work. They established a new society where the wealthiest members have made their money by illegal methods and were forever beholden to those who made their operations possible. Because they're millionaires. They've taken a blood oath. They're locked in. We got you. So the majority, the newly rich, couldn't help but carry out the request of those who made them rich, because those who made them millionaires almost overnight can reduce them to poverty just as quickly. So they come up with a stock market that they control perfectly. They control that stock market like you do a budget. Again, your professor at Harvard is lying to you. They produce a depression, a recession, inflationary period, like you can plan to buy a car in 5 years. They plan it out and use a Gillian dialectic. This is exactly correct. There's 10 reasons why that the Great Depression happened. The first reason was junk bonds. It's so full of mud. All they did was call in the debt, crash the stock market. They had to sell their stocks. That's all they did to set up for a new world order that was supposed to take place back then in 1943. It failed. It's all orchestrated. It's also documented. In any case, Canada. The majority of the newly rich can't help but carry out the requests of those who made them rich, because those who made them millionaires overnight by insider trading, by contracts that shouldn't be obtained. See, they do these things to keep track of it, so if they ever spread, not kind of get a case of the conscience. Well, Mr. Jones there, you've been CEO for a while, but don't you know how you got your money? How about that insider trading? We got copies right here, so you sure you don't want to? They got you, man. They got you. And that's how they do it. And we know about your little secretary and you. Do you know she works for us? Yes. Now, you have a nice family, don't you? You have a nice family? Yeah, you do. You love your wife? Yeah. Well, you want to read that documentation right there? So are you sure you don't want to give us that contract? That's exactly how it's done. In the court of records or deeds, he's a Freemason. And he knows the deeds of that CEO and everything going on. So, hey, John, you're a member of the Brotherhood. You're a second degree now? Yeah, okay. You took an oath, didn't you? Right. Can we see the records of that CEO right there? No, I'm not supposed to. And that's why they pull you in. They got you. You've taken an oath to God to lie, cheat, and steal. They got you, don't they? Mm-hmm. That's why they do recruit. That's why they say they don't. Because they actually do. I know. They tried to recruit me when I was a manager for a security corporation in Indiana. They tried to get me 3 times in the lodge. And I said, I can't do it. Then 2 months later, they tried to drum me out in so many ways. I hung in there for 2 months. He would try to get me in the Illuminati. We had a fellow Marine, no less. A fellow Marine was a member of the Illuminati. And they knew I knew a lot what was going on. And I actually was asked, Tom, yeah, you want to be a member of the Illuminati? I said, I can't do that. Like, I resigned that job 2 months after I had it, 2 months after their campaign began. I know for a fact. You see. Anyway. So, those who made them millionaires almost overnight can reduce them to poverty as quickly if they hesitate to do the bidding. That's how it really works. Also, they obtained control of high-level government officials, so they had to adopt a policy, even, regarding international security, which permitted the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect the revolutionary plans and await the day when international conspirators gave the order to revolt. Did you hear what I said? To await the day. It's one day this is going to happen. Hadn't happened yet. You'll know when it does, though. And number five, and this is very important. Finally, they saw to it that just enough evidence appeared in the public free press to disgust the public, to make you be disgusted toward the government. Just enough evidence in the free press to allow, cause disgusting behavior, disgust among the public toward the government. Does that sound familiar to y'all? And what it does is it gives the public a feeling that our governments are so rotten, systems so broken, any change must be for the best. But the news reports did not disclose any connection between the international capitalist, the Illuminati, and who organized the gigantic conspiracy, and subversives, mafia, CIA, you got it now? In the underworld who put the plans into effect. So they would say, our system is so broken. It's so messed up. And what's that going to do for you all? What's that going to cause you to think? Listen to the words.
So things are getting nutty in D.C. and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some like military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I started telling friends for a long time, that no election is going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now. The whole system.
Yep.
I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oak Initiative's own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
Now, I play that many, many, many times. That's the show right out of their own mouth. You see, both Joyner and Boykin are Knights of Malta. Their support is to the murderous Jesuits. So they're talking about a military takeover. That means they're for the White House, the military, veterans, etc., to take over this alleged Muslim government, right? That's what Boykin calls it. I'll listen to him. In a conference I went to, yes, he is talking against the government, calling it Muslim in this conference, and I shook his old hand, too. And when I did, I said, how about the temple of understanding? Do you know about the New World Order? And all? Your boy couldn't get away from me fast enough. Yeah. Same thing for Joyner. These are Knights of Malta. They've taken a blood oath that's unbelievably horrific that Adolf Hitler would have taken to kill, to destroy, to poison people. You understand this? Read the Knights of Malta oath and you tell me not. And yet they're talking about a military takeover of the U.S. government, which means they're on the side of the oath keepers, they're on the side of the veterans, and yet they took an oath to work with the Jesuits, who are responsible for all our wars that murdered and killed our troops in Arlington. They're responsible for every single doggone war. How come nobody's making a big move about that? Arlington's a lot of people dead there, you know, from World War II in Korea. Vietnam, and you put them there? The Council of Foreign Relations. And that's a fact. The Republicans, Democrats on the highest level, working together, hand in hand, side by side, to bring us to a new world order. I got a problem with that. Quote, the Chicago Tribune, 1950. The members of the Council on Foreign Relations should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War. Unquote. Douglas MacArthur confirms that the Seventh Fleet, in his diary, blockaded the free Chinese from taking Red Chinese in the Korean War to make sure it didn't happen, to make sure Red China stayed Red China. MacArthur confirms this. He got orders to make sure it happened in various ways. Family, it's guaranteed. Korean War, Vietnam War, the outcome was already planned. Now you see what I'm talking about here. So now there's one other that you've heard me play before. Now I'm going to play it again, something else. And then I'm going to give you details. See, now I do have additional information I repeat. But I do it to make either bring new information in or accentuate certain points I've made before. So new people won't be lost and think that I've lost my mind when I've got evidence. See? Because some of this is crazy stuff. It really is. But it's actually true. I'm trying to get people to move. I'm trying to get people to see what's really going on. You know? So now I'm going to let you play this, I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to give you details.
President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
1961.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
Martin Luther King, Larry McDonald, John Lennon, JFK, Princess Diana, Benazir Bhutto, Tupac Shakur, Dr. David Kelly, William Cooper, Barry Jennings, and the list is long.
No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Now, that's where I should stop. I say how the government's so messed up, but I don't stop there. Because what they're doing now is using certain truth tellers and radio and whatever else to reveal just enough evidence in the public free press to disgust the public, to give the public the feeling that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change must be for the best. That's where we are. So you got so-called truth tellers out there that are not truth tellers at all. They want you to see how corrupt the government is, so you accept the New World Order, and the so-called peace they're going to bring you is worse than the one we've had before. Jesus Christ is the only one who's going to bring the truth to you. That's it. And the King James Bible, irrefutably, is the only truth you're going to have. Fact. I take a step further. Because the government they're bringing to you now is worse than anyone they've ever had before. It'll appear to be friendly, prosperity, packages, Nasera, whatever kind of nonsense they're going to come up with. People celebrate, whatever. And then look out. So like Kennedy said, you should not be afraid of the truth.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go
wild. I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the website.
Number 322?
I haven't seen.
You start to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
If you did, what would you do?
Well, I don't plan on losing. I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead.
In what way is that? What would be the way he wants to lead, wanted to lead then, like many of the rest of them?
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Well, when you put things together, it kind of puts a whole new light on things, don't it? You see, they count on you not putting things together. Now, what would a cousin of his say? You think a cousin would be in the same line? Let's do this again. And see what the cousin has to say about it. Because they're all in the same bloodline. Kerry, Bush, Romney, Cheney. They're all in the same bloodline. The same Merovingian bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II. They all go back to King John, Charles Maine. You see how this works in reality? That's how it really operates. Now, I'm going to talk here shortly about specifics. I'm going to talk about it fast because if y'all want to, you know, get it specifically, you can get it yourselves. It's already published, but I just want to give an effect of what they're going to do. So I'm not going to talk about each subject separately because it takes way too much time. Because I want to go into the mass medication, and it's going to shock you for the rest of the hour. I'm going to tell you about that, about the mass medication. And this will tell you why, one of the reasons why people aren't catching on, why they're holding on to their core concepts and not seeing the truth. So let's do this again, because I'm having a little trouble here trying to get this reeled up. I want you to hear this next segment. So I'm going to let you hear this while it's playing, and then you'll hear the last part of it.
First of all, he's not the nominee, but I look forward.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching Be Safe on the Campaign Trail. John Kerry, thanks for joining us. And we'll be right back.
Look, the problem was then that during the 2004 presidential election of both George W. Bush and John Kerry, who are cousins, by the way, play the part real well, don't they? They were asked to meet the press host, Tim Russert. That's the guy talking, interviewing them. I guess he didn't know he is in a bed of snakes. And this is about their connection with Yale secret society, Skull and Bones. He made a serious mistake. Both the candidates avoided anything particularly about that, as you heard. And you know, Tim Russert, the host of Meet the Press, he died not long after the interviews. He died like 3 or 4 years later, but he had cancer. They can give you cancer and you could be dead in a month. Or long term. Cancer is a man-made disease. It's man-made, by the way. HIV was man-made in Fort Detrick, Maryland in the 1970s, late 70s. Ebola virus is derivative. And the Gulf War syndrome was also a virus derivative of HIV, immune deficiency. They would die by opportunistic diseases. The Gulf War syndrome was also designed. The 26 suicides per day is orchestrated on my website, watchingforjesus.com. Go read it. I got part two, one and part two. Yeah. Now, in detail, what conspiracy is JFK talking about? Exactly. That was 2 years before this congressional hearing of Honorable Herlong of Florida brought out in congressional records the Communist Goals of 1963. Don't forget the Iron Mountain Commission, 1961 to 63. How to control people in a time of peace. That's also part of the control process. But in 1963, the current communist goals that JFK was talking about was the following. The U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. The U.S. willingness to recapitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. They practiced it all through the 50s. It was stopped in 1960s. To develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. That goes right along with the Iron Mountain Commission report about disarmament. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. That happened in 1966 when our CEOs of certain corporations gave the entire specifications of a glycerol factory to Russia so they could make glycerol and give it to the VC. The State Department made sure the VC got the glycerol to use it as glycerin, use it as a detonator in the booby traps that accounted for half of our casualties in Vietnam. It was done by the Illuminati of our own country, as directed by the Vatican. CIA involved, of course. You know the subversives they're talking about here? Oh, yeah. Permit or extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist denomination. That goes back to IG Farben chemical cartel funded by Wall Street that set up the Nazi movement and fully funded Adolf Hitler. Without the money provided by IG Farben, Hitler wouldn't have existed. Fact. Anthony Sutton confirms it. Henry Ford was a part of the transportation systems. Provided Hitler, Henry Ford. Didn't have anything to do with Jews. Has to do with Illuminati. Jesuits. The Council of Foreign Relations. Secret societies. That's the enemy. Grant recognition of Red China. Admission of Red China in the United Nations. I already told you about that when they made sure that Red China remained Red China in the Korean War, to the point of using the Seventh Fleet to block the Free Chinese to prevent them from taking over Red China. Confirmed, General MacArthur in his diary. Hey, go ahead and refute it if you'd like to. To set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under supervision of the United Nations. To prolong the conference that banned the atomic tests because the United States agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations were in progress. To prolong the conferences. There's a lot more going on in Nevada with the 900 nuclear tests than people actually realize. Are y'all worried about the atomic nuclear cloud coming across from Japan? Whatever happened to that? Nothing. It dissipated, didn't it? It just disappeared. What happened to it? Weren't we all supposed to die or something up north and babies turn into whatever throughout the United States because of this disaster in Japan? Whatever happened to that? They just died? What happened? Ah, how about that? And we had 900 atomic tests in Nevada throughout the 1950s and 60s. And here you have such, what's going on here, you know? A little bit of lying going on, maybe? How about that? Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do away with all loyalty oaths. It's coming. They need the loyalty oaths now because of Freemasonry. And then when they get rid of the, when they have the control, they're going to kill you. They won't need them anymore. Continue giving Russia access to U.S. Patent Office. Free trade, huh? You can be a millionaire in America if you work hard at it. Oh, whoa. Man, Pinocchio, your nose is growing. Capture one or both the political parties of the United States. Martin Luther King told us about that. We've been betrayed by both the Democrat and Republican Party. Martin Luther King tells us, 1960s. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Here we go. just like anti-Semitism, just like anti-homosexuality, just like anti-whatever. They set it up for someone to be anti, and they'll set somebody up to say, we're going to sue you. They work both sides. And then they tell the Freemason or warlock judge, literally, now here's how you're going to rule. If it don't, oh, we go back to step number one and find out what his problem is. You see how it works? This is a reality. You'll love this. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations and put the party line in textbooks. Surely they didn't do that. You think they really did that? You think that really happened? Come on now. You think that our schools would do something like that to us? Well, they sure did. That's exactly what they did. And you Freemasons out there? Your kids are going to the same schools. Did you know that? Did they tell you that? I bet they didn't. 1930, Charles Francis Potter said, and I quote, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism. Now tomorrow, I want to talk about exactly what humanism is. In 1989, Roger Kimball said, with a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical menu, that's Marxist and humanist menu, at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels. And 2 years before that, Herbert London said in New York University, which is Illuminati University, the strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its Marxist socialism preachment, and almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar. Unquote. Now tell me their books are actually legitimate. Was the Communist Rules in 1963? Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. They accomplished it, and it's bona fide, guaranteed, quoted, names, dates, just like I told you. Get control of all student newspapers. Use student riots, Kent State. Use student riots to foment, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Now, do you think they would do that today, y'all? Do you think that would actually happen today? You think this is all old? That this is 1963? We don't have to worry about that now? Really? Really? Well, how about September the 24th? Oh, that's today. Hundreds of Colorado students protest history curriculum changes that would promote patriotism. Well, shut my mouth. September the 23rd at Pomona High School, students engage with passing motorists in a busy intersection near their school during a multi-school protest against Jefferson County School Board proposal to emphasize patriotism and downplay civil unrest in the teaching of U.S. history in Evado, Colorado. A little anti-patriotism going on there, huh? Now, why would they do that? Do you think they'd do that in the 50s? No. 60s? No. 60s? No. 70s? No. 80s? Getting close. 90s? Warm. Year 2000? Oh, hot. And look here what I found. 1948 to 1953 brought Chisholm, director of the United Nations World Health Organization, says in a quote, after 1945, when the attack on America began by the Illuminati, which included Americans and the secret societies, as JFK said, Brock Chisholm said, and I quote, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Y'all kind of thinking you've been had? And the students, they're paid to be there. They either paid them, brainwashed them, whatever. They're fulfilling an age-old requirement that goes back to Kent State, goes back to 1940s, goes back to 1776. They needed the patriotism, the family structure together, up to 1945. Why? Because that family structure is strong. It develops patriotism. And the patriotism helps you fight the wars. That's why it works every single cotton picking time, bar none. It works. We fall for it every darn time, man. Every time it happens, we fall for it. They needed that patriotism so we'd fight the wars thinking it was for freedom. That fighting for freedom was coined by Edward Bernays, Freud's nephew. Now you see why I got a little bit of a heartburn about Arlington. Every single grave. Caesar said, I quote, beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizens into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It emboldens the blood as it narrows the mind. When the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate and mind has closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizen. Rather, the citizens, infused with fear, blinded by patriotism, will offer up their rights and the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? This is what I've done, and I'm Caesar. So they needed that patriotic fervor to foment the war. Now, they got to get rid of it to bring us a new world order. That's how it works. And we fall for it. They provide the instant crisis, whatever it is. It's called the dialectic. And we fall for it, line and sinker, man, every time. And it's all of them working together at the highest level because they belong to secret societies. And Freemasons, you're supporting it because you're part of it. And you don't even know it. And another principle they use, that the best way, by Vladimir Lenin, was a student of Weishaupt. Vladimir Lenin said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you'll have repression and dictatorship by consent. See how it works? So they got these hundreds of students out there, for they don't even really know the reason why. They waved American flags, carried signs. To get rid of the study of history now. I follow Jesus Christ, not a country. I'm not even talking about the patriotic thing. I'm not even getting to that. I'm a former U.S. Marine, but I see a bigger picture here. So I'm not talking about how they're going against America and how dare they do that. I'm not talking about none of that stuff. I'm talking about the technique and methodology, strategic movements they're making here to start leading us to a new world order that's led by Lucifer. I'm telling you, I'm not blasting these people for being anti-patriotic and all that stuff. I ain't getting all that. That's just seeing the tree, not the forest. But I'm showing you how there's nothing changed. Denver area students walk out of school in protest. Hundreds of students walked out of classrooms around suburban Denver on Tuesday in protest over conservative-led school board proposal to focus history education on topics that promote citizenship, patriotism, and respect for authority. They must have missed something here. Providing a show of civil disobedience that the new standards would aim to downplay. They give it to y'all, man. To get rid of respect for authority into patriotism. So they set this up, the conservative guys on their side and the liberal on their side working together. You understand this? So now I want you all to go in. We're going to use, which school we're going to use? We're going to use one in Nevada, Colorado. Okay, you got it set up? The Masons are got? Okay, all right. So you're going to have them go in and do that? All right, how many students you got hired? A couple hundred? All right. Make sure they show up. All right, you conservative leader, make sure you all go in with this. You liberal leaders over here, make sure you get your students ready. All right, you're ready? On the left? You're ready on the right? Okay. We were going to do it? Okay. All right, y'all get it done. We'll make sure the media's out there to record it, and we'll put it out viral. That's what they did. It's a scam. The school board, controlled by Freemasons, oh, for goodness sakes. The school board proposal that triggered the walkout calls of instructional materials that present positive effects, aspects of nation and its heritage. It would establish a committee to regularly review text course plans, starting with advanced placement history, to make sure the materials promoted, oh, they got to include all of it, citizenship, patriotism, essentials, and benefits of the free market system. Respect for authority. Respect for individual rights. And don't encourage or condone civil disorder, social strife, or disregard of the law. I think, did they miss anything? I don't think they missed a thing to list to the New World Order. This is so almost too funny. Oh, gosh, man, we are such suckers, I tell you what. And the other thing was that shooter in UPS. Oh, yeah, the shooter. They put in here the shooter at the UPS, not funny, but the way they do this, one of their captions on it was the former employee that opened fire Tuesday, killing two ex-employees himself, of course, in MK Ultra, you always kill yourself, is that had two children and a Baptist. He was a Baptist. Make sure he was a Baptist. They let you know he's a Baptist. He is a Baptist. I wonder if he's from Westboro Baptist Church or not. I don't know, man. It's all part of this scam. And then lately, and I'm going back to the communist rules here in a minute, and then I want to hit either start today, and then I'll hit you with tomorrow the medication. You got to understand this medication thing. Is Barack Obama, remember him? Okay. He walks out of his helicopter and salutes Marines with a coffee cup. Now, I'm supposed to tell you how disrespectful that is, which it is. I'm supposed to tell you how dare he do that to Marines, because I was a former U.S. Marine. And you never salute with something in your hand, not even a set of keys, nothing. All right, I'm supposed to tell you all that, you know, and push it in that way. But that's what happened. What happened was, is that when he's getting out, this is a script he's supposed to follow. He said, okay, here's your cup. Now go out and salute. And this is how you're supposed to do it. It's all planned out, family. Because you go back to Rick Joyner about military coup with the U.S. government. And you see these kind of things is going to really tick off the military. And they'll support a military coup. Now, this controversy went viral throughout the United States. This is all planned out, family. That's what I'm telling you. Is it disrespectful? Yeah. Did it tick me off? Yeah. But see, I see through this. Because he was told to do this by his leaders, which is the Vatican, which controlled through the CIA and subversives. Okay, Obama, here's what you got to do. When you leave, we're going to have the pictures there. And as soon as you come out, put the cup in your hand. Okay, that looks good. That looks good. Do it that way. and then we'll get the cameras out there, the pictures, and we'll make sure it goes viral. Okay. See, the present, when they're getting ready to change over and be appointed or taken away, they do these things. Bush was told to act stupid his second term. It told him, you know, act dumb, do stupid things. Now they're telling Obama, because there's going to be a change of president coming up, whether it's Hillary or Dillery, Doc, Hinbuck to Elmer Fudd, who, it don't matter. They're appointed anyway. It don't matter. So they do these things. The media picks it up as planned. So you think you've really elected the right one when he's really appointed. This is exactly how it's done. So now they've really hit it. They got a picture of him laughing and all that stuff. Family did the same thing the Clintons loathed. Hate, I didn't say loved, I said loathed. Hated the military. Hated military. Hillary did her thing. Getting ready to change over. Do it every time, man. We hit hook, line, and sinker every single time. When are y'all going to learn out there? Some of y'all. Come on. And now they've identified the justice is responsible for halting access to abortion. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Man, does she just never go away? Man, this woman's like glue. And you remember I told y'all, they use actors and actresses and all that. They're all famous and so forth. Then they use them for their own agenda. They make them presidents. That's got to be the dumbest thing. Reagan, Ventura, come on. Congressman, they turn them into political leaders, you see. Reagan was a darn pagan. With Nixon, his cousin, at Bohemian Grove. They got pictures of him up there. Oh, my gosh. So now, Leonardo DiCaprio, Titanic. Yeah. Well, what in the world is that boy going to address world leaders at the UN on climate change is real? This actor, Leonardo DiCaprio, addresses world leaders at the UN. Family. This is so bogus. Climate change is real. Climate change is a lie. I got it on Iron Mountain Report. This is what they planned in 1963. Like anti-Semitism in 1897. Well, climate change is a fictitious alternate enemy. HARP controls the weather. It's a fact. It's proven now. So they use the weather change, the pollution thing, to affect legislation, taxes. That's what it's for. That's the purpose of it. So now you got this DiCaprio. What's he doing there? I'm surprised they didn't flip a coin for Angelina Jolie. Oh yeah, she's got other assignments to her. See how they do it? Man, y'all being fooled out there. Oh. What do you do? How do you get across to people? Ex-SEAL Higby. Morale is terrible in the military right now. There's a report. That was a goal beginning in 1945. Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Gulf War Syndrome, bringing homosexuals to the military, bringing women to frontline units. That was planned in 1977. To reduce the effectiveness of the military and 26 suicides per day. All this is orchestrated and planned through the committees and councils every doggone time. And nobody is seeing through it. And he's lying. Doggone, these lying Council of Foreign Relations and Joint Chief of Staff. A bunch of cowards up there. Men are turning their heads around. Taking those blood oaths. How they sleep at night is beyond me. And the evidence is clear. They've got these guys here. They got some of these guys. I'm not even going to talk about that. Then they have a Russian Spetsnaz link with a PA cop killer. There, you got Spetsnaz and Chinese military here and already been here since 1990s. Clinton, Chinagate. You see? And more Americans forego marriage as economic difficulties hits home. They have accomplished it. To destroy the country, you must destroy the family. That's why the Rockefellers funded feminism. I've got it on record. There's an interview by Aaron Russo. I've got their plans, how they've done it. Feminists don't even know what they've done. They have no idea how this really works. Well, article came out, Americans don't marry anymore because economic difficulties hit the home. Ruth Bader Ginsburg submitted a report, Civil Rights Commission, with four or five initiatives on how to destroy the family. In fact, a common doctrine and goal of secular humanism and Marxism and Leninism says, and I quote, they believe traditional family must be eliminated in order to obtain world peace, unquote. They've been working on that since 1945. Hook, line, and sinker. Y'all feel like a carp or a trout? To achieve world government, brought Chris home, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, religious dogmas. Ruth Bader Ginsburg submitted a report to U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. She stated, I quote, provide comprehensive child care. That was to get children out of the home. Federal government should provide comprehensive child care. Federal government should change the homestead law, 1977. Change the homestead law. Provide double benefits to couples who don't live together as to husband and wife who do live together. That was to split the families up. This Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Number three, draft women in the military, assign them to combat duty. Yeah, 1977. And apply affirmative action to the armed forces in order to equalize the number of men and women. That was to eliminate traditional feminine roles, split the families, make women over men. Men are not over women anymore, see? That was to eliminate the feminine roles in marriages. That was done June 2013 by Leon Panetta. Leon Panetta is a Knights of Malta. How about that? Huh? How about that? How about that? Number four was to eliminate traditional family concept of the husband as a breadwinner, wife as homemaker, and integrate all male, all female organizations, such as Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, fraternities, sororities. And that was to eliminate traditional male roles. What did they do? Transgender bathrooms. Infiltrate transgender into Boy Scouts now. Make Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts together. And then the largest threat, international rights of the child by the UN. We failed to sign it, thank God. But it's ratified September 2nd, 1990. It's to take your children away from you. I would think that would be a problem. Apparently it's not. Apparently Americans just want to give up their kids to the United Nations. Because in Oregon, damn it, Oregon, they're setting up child euthanasia. So your children can kill themselves, they're disabled, and you can't stop it. Oregon is full of witchcraft, Freemasonry, and the evil you can't imagine in their government. They need one state or two to pass it, and then just like homosexual marriage, it will spread out over the country. But don't forget you got golf game in Hilton Head, and don't forget you got TV going on, and don't forget about your meeting down there, whatever it is. Revelation 18, verse 23. He put it right here in front of my eyes. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. I wonder if that's been accomplished. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission for socialism. I read you that one. Gain control of student newspapers. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Review, infiltrate the press. That happened in 1915. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making decisions. Get control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Duh. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from parks and buildings. Substitute shapeless, awkward, meaningless forms. Control art critics and directors of museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech. Hey, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. You FBI agents out there ought to be a little interested in that. And then when you're discredited and dismantling, what are they going to do with you then? Let you out in the public and live? How about that? You really think you're going to go to the Ozarks and set up some kind of Lincoln cabin or something and spread out seeds and grow and be like, that's not going to happen. Y'all better wake up. I ain't talking about revolution. I'm talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14 is what I'm talking about. Discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Quote article, September 24th. More Americans forego marriage and economic difficulties at home. How much more evidence do y'all need? Man, I can just go and go and go and go till I'm too tired or run out of air here. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm not special. I just get ticked off because of lying, and I consider a liar as a bully. Doggone it, you know. You know, if people are really concerned about the health of their children's teeth, watch this. They must correct their eating habits, medical baby specialists, like back in the 1950s, Dr. Alan Brown said, because people will not correct their eating habits. So, quote, we must strengthen the dental enamel by adding fluorine to the drinking water of the whole nation. No suggestion back then by this Dr. Alan Brown could have been more illogical. Sodium fluoride is such a deadly poison that the addition of even the most minute quantities to the amount provided by nature in a normal diet can produce immediate ill effects to the bowels, nerves, and other organs of the body. The target was the baby boomers. They put cancer cells in the polio vaccines in 1952-54 between 30 and 90 million Americans that were baby boomers in 1952-54. That's where the cancers come from. But you know, more important still is the fact that cumulative effects of fluorine, the poisoning, do not, as a rule, show up for a considerable time, as long as 7 to 10 years, depending on the quantity of poisoning absorbed in the system. You see, the ill effects progress. The victim suffers mental, physical, nervous disorders, which can actually cause paralysis. Uh-huh. And you know, serious changes in bone structure, DNA, are also found in the bodies of people who've ingested too much fluorine. Fluoridation of drinking water could not be regulated with sufficient accuracy to eliminate serious danger. So the person who drinks 10 glasses a day, remember I said 8 to 10? Of beverages made with fluorinated water absorb 10 times as much of the poison as a person who drinks one glass. Tea has a very high fluorine content compared with most foods and beverages. What's going to happen in the heavy tea drinkers who brew the tea with fluorinated water? The first visible signs show a victim is suffering from chloric fluorine poisoning or mottled teeth and finger and toenails. So, the specialists and advisors who've been promoting this idea of fluoridation is telling a number of lies, because the medical men who advocated fluoridation had an ulterior motive, because their education was made the true facts regarding fluorine to known to them then. Lie number one was that those who advocate the introduction of fluoride in the drinking water claim that it gives our children better teeth. Well, fluoride only helps prevent caries. See, this limited the benefit. The limited benefits obtained at the danger of losing the whole set of teeth while people are in their 30s. Dentists know that in all areas where fluoride is found in drinking water, most of the people develop gingivitis and pyrrhea to a degree that makes extraction the only remedy. I got a number of their lies that they tried to tell people that are quite lengthy. That's only barely scratching the surface about what fluorine actually was put up for, that they didn't tell you all. Did you know that those who advocate fluoridation claim that it's possible to regulate, it is possible, they say, to regulate the quality of this deadly poison so that more of the one parts per million will be placed in the drinking water? So those who make such a statement know that's a deliberate lie. They're doing it on purpose. Because if the quantity of fluoride introduced to a supposedly scientifically prepared baby food varied from 6 to 22 parts per million, you see, under the old formula, and it varied as much as from 1.5 to 2.2 parts per million, under the new, why should it be possible that those who charged with introducing it to the drinking water would be more accurate? Why? And those making this perfect baby food were supposed to be experts and medical specialists. Those who look after our water works just as ordinary working men. They lied about that. Especially that baby food back in the 50s and 60s. Because it's depopulation. To get rid of the baby boomers. Have them die of cancer. Quicker. You know why that was? Baby boomers were taught by the World War I, World War II veterans as their mothers and grandfathers. That means they brought to them, to the children at 5 years old, with the same background. As they grew up in their schools, they would say, well, honey, what'd you learn today? And so forth and so on. They'd come to school with those attitudes, wouldn't they? Patriotism and all that stuff. Because they learned it from the World War I, World War II parents. But they have to get rid of that, don't they? Started in the 1950s. Is that worth? That's why 20 years later, 1970s, 1973, now you'll still get a new appreciation of this quote. This disgusting, horrific quote from a disgusting individual by the name of Dr. Chester M. Pierce, a medical doctor of Harvard University. In 1973, he addressed 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado, in a teachers' conference. And you know what he told them? He'd be talking to the children of the baby boomers that we're talking about now. They'd be the parents of the children he's talking about now. Slam dunk. He said to 2,000 teachers, quote, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating international children of the future. Paul Brandweenie, whatever his name is, influential educator, taught that, quote, any child who believes in God is mentally ill. Ashley Montague spoke to 1,000 home economic teachers in 1970, Anaheim, California. She said the American family structure produces mentally ill children. So now you know why the push for same-sex marriage. Now it's really picking up steam. Now you know why. While they're protecting transgender. So they get a transgender, say, okay, we want you to threaten this transgender guy. Now you want you all to change shirts and be like him, so we'll show support, we'll put it in the news, and let's get it viral. That's how they do it. So they hire the people to go after transgender and, you know, insult him, and the school to say, well, you can't wear your transgender shirt. They get the school to do it, right? And then they have students say, well, if you won't do it, we'll wear it like him. It's all orchestrated. There's no bravery and no camaraderie. It's all planned out to manipulate the public. Then they make it viral, as they call it. All this because they are going to lose. Family, you take Jesus Christ as your Savior. They want you to be upset. They want you to be afraid. They want you to be angry. They want you to fight. They want you to rebel so they can bring peace, and it'll be a false peace. That's the point they don't want you to know. Justine, his wife, did what? She said, you're not doing it for God, doing good things. You're doing it for yourselves. And then not long after, an article came out about Joel Osteen not knowing the Bible. Where did that come from? All of a sudden, America's most favorite popular pastor doesn't know the Bible, unquote. That went viral because they made a mistake in answering something. Family is on purpose. Victoria and Joel Osteen were told, now here's what we want you to do. To discredit religion. So all those that are following Joel Osteen and his nonsense are now going to say, oh my gosh, this is what they're going to discredit religion for. I take it a step further. This is part of the manipulation. He's told, Joel, this is what you want you to do now. Victoria, we rehearsed it. Okay, now I want you to do this on your next Sunday time. Okay. It's all planned out, family. That's my point. They want to discredit religion as you know it, to bring in the New Age movement. Billy Graham, Copeland, Joyce Myers, Rick Warren. Rick Warren's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, like Paul Rykoff, like all the rest of them are. Hope I woke somebody up or ticked somebody off or something, because y'all got to get to moving, because Jesus Christ is coming back. But family, the tribulation will be in the middle. The tribulations are coming. Where's your soul going to go? It's eternal, what we're talking about here. Hell's eternal. Heaven's eternal. And it's your choice. And the difference is taking Jesus as Savior, acknowledging your sin between you and Him. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, that's some sin that you're kept with, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. To keep you humble, was for. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart. Perfect in weakness, said unto me, my grace is sufficient, glory in thine infirmities. That the power of God, if you take pleasure in his infirmities, in perfect weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I shall glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress of Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's through Jesus Christ. King James Bible. Whose side you on? You better start making a decision right quick because things are moving right along. That's my whole point today. We'll show you how fast they're moving. How quickly it's accelerating. They're going to bring a false Jesus at you and a fake World War III. We're close to the first seal. We're near Sixth Trumpet or whatever nonsense Carl Gallup and Nathan Leal and all the others and Chuck Baldwin and all the rest of them are talking about. That's baloney. Chuck and Hagee and all these other Mark Blitz, no doggone lot of them. They're full of baloney. Family, tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. I want to talk about Ham and I want to talk a little bit about Ham and Noah. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight and some other things. Let y'all know that we are played up in highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net, by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, and he plays this randomly on his network in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Y'all can visit my, y'all, yeah, I'm not from Pennsylvania, that's for sure. Anyway, you all can visit my website, watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And tonight, 8 to 9. Also, I'm going to be on, I got an interview about spiritual warfare. It's coming up here about 10 minutes on another network. Just remember that. Wow. Anyway, so I'll be back on here in about another 10 minutes, I guess. But about spiritual warfare, I'm a guest on the show, and it may work. I don't know how it's going to operate, but we'll see. I should be able to record it. And then tonight, 8 to 9, is Bible study. And there you go. And so, family, tomorrow we're going to hit more on what we're talking about today and more evidence and so forth. Okay. Whew. What a day. So, family, we'll see y'all either in 10 to 15 minutes if y'all stay for the spiritual warfare. I hope it works out. Tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study. Otherwise, tomorrow at 4. And so, there you go. Y'all have a good night, and God bless you. This is Watchman. I'm signing off.
Then I fell down on my knees, and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted in me.